Good morning. Let's turn our Bibles to John 18. John chapter 18. We'll read the whole chapter, John 18. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the ravine of the Kidron, where there was a garden, in which he entered with his disciples. Now Judas also, who was betraying him, knew the place, for Jesus had often met there with his disciples. Judas then, having received the Roman cohort and officers from the chief priests and the Pharisees, came there with lanterns and torches and weapons. So Jesus, knowing all the things that were coming upon him, went forth and said to them, "Whom do you seek?" They answered him, "Jesus the Nazarene." He said to them, "I am he." And Judas also, who was betraying him, was standing with them. So when he said to them, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. Therefore he again asked them, "Whom do you seek?" And they said, "Jesus the Nazarene." Jesus answered, "I told you that I am he. So if you seek me, let these go their way, to fulfill the word which he spoke, 'Of those whom you have given me, I lost not one.'" Simon Peter then, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's slave and cut off his right ear, and the slave's name was Malchus. So Jesus said to Peter, "Put the sword into the sheath. The cup which the Father has given me, shall I not drink it?" So the Roman cohort and the commander of the officers of the Jews arrested Jesus and bound him and led him to Annas first, for he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was the high priest that year. Now Caiaphas was the one who had advised the Jews that it was expedient for one man to die on behalf of the people. Simon Peter was following Jesus, and so was another disciple. Now that disciple was known to the high priest and entered with Jesus into the court of the high priest, but Peter was standing at the door outside. So the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out and spoke to the doorkeeper and brought Peter in. Then the slave girl who kept the door said to Peter, "You are not also one of this man's disciples, are you?" He said, "I am not." Now the slaves and the officers were standing there, having made a charcoal fire, for it was cold, and they were warming themselves, and Peter was also with them, standing and warming himself. The high priest then questioned Jesus about his disciples and about his teaching. Jesus answered him, "I have spoken openly to the world. I always taught in synagogues and in the temple where all the Jews come together, and I spoke nothing in secret. Why do you question me? Question those who have heard what I spoke to them. They know what I said." When he said this, one of the officers standing near struck Jesus, saying, "Is that the way you answer the high priest?" Jesus answered him, "If I have spoken wrongly, testify of the wrong. But if rightly, why do you strike me?" So Annas sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. Now Simon Peter was standing and warming himself, so they said to him, "You are not also one of his disciples, are you?" He denied it and said, "I am not." One of the slaves of the high priest, being a relative of the one whose ear Peter cut off, said, "Did I not see you in the garden with him?" Peter then denied it again, and immediately a rooster crowed. Then they led Jesus from Caiaphas into the praetorium, and it was early, and they themselves did not enter into the praetorium so that they would not be defiled, but might eat the Passover. Therefore Pilate went out and went out to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" They answered and said to him, "If this man were not an evildoer, we would not have delivered him to you." So Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and judge him according to your law." The Jews said to him, "We are not permitted to put anyone to death to fulfill the word of Jesus which he spoke," signifying by what kind of death he was about to die. Therefore Pilate entered again into the praetorium and summoned Jesus and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Are you saying this on your own initiative, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate answered, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests delivered you to me. What have you done? Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would be fighting so that I would not be handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not of this realm. Therefore Pilate said to him, so you are a king? Jesus answered, you say correctly that I am a king. For this I have been born, and for this I have come into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Pilate said to him, what is truth? And when he said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, I find no guilt in him. But you have a custom that I release someone for you at the Passover. Do you wish then that I release for you the king of the Jews? So they cried out again, saying, not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. Amen. Thank you, God. This morning, we just come before you. I ask you, Holy Spirit, to convict our hearts of your word and your truth, God. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. This morning, I want to talk about boldness, being bold. This chapter is great because it juxtaposes the boldness of Jesus with the cowardice of Simon Peter. So from verse 4 to 11, this is Jesus in the garden, we see these soldiers, they have come to capture Jesus, and Jesus is so supremely confident, right? He is not affected that these people have come with swords and clubs and they're trying to catch him. He just says, who are you seeking? And this is who I am. Jesus, even when he is being taken away by the guards, he is commanding them on what to do. He says, you take me. Let these guys go. And he's full of confidence. And then you go to verse 15 through 18, Peter's first denial. It shows the extreme fear of Peter, right? He has an automatic response of denying that he knew Jesus. When he is threatened, when he feels threatened, and he thinks, oh man, crap, like if they find out that I was following Jesus, because he can see Jesus being taken away. You know, he's bound and captured and taken away. So Peter makes a blatant lie, and we don't see any sense of hesitation in Peter. Aren't you one of them? No, I am not. I was not with him. I don't know this guy. And he blatantly lies because of fear. And then you go down to verse 19 through 24, when Jesus stands before the high priest. Again, this shows Jesus' incredible boldness, right? He speaks the truth and has perfect confidence, and he doesn't cower in fear. When they try to accuse him of doing this and that, Jesus just, you know, he calm, cool and collected. And he says, man, these guys know what I have said. Why don't you ask them? If I have said something wrong, fine, strike me. But if I said something right, why do you strike me? Right? He's very confident, very bold in facing the people that are accusing him. And then obviously the next part, we go to Peter's second and third denial. Again, Peter cowers in fear and he denies knowing Jesus two times. Because of his cowardice, his fear. And then you see again Jesus before Pilate, verse 33 to 38. Jesus standing before Pilate, and Jesus is not impressed or intimidated by this Roman governor, right? Even though Pilate, in the worldly sense, has the power to either put Jesus to death or to give him life, there is no sense of intimidation for Jesus. So he just stands before him, and he, in a way, he even teaches him, right? He's like, you don't know who I am. Like, you don't know that my kingdom is not of this world. And he just speaks to him with so much confidence and authority. So, it's beautiful. You know, it juxtaposes. You see, on the one hand, Jesus, full of supreme confidence in the Father, and he is not intimidated or impressed by any man or any mob of any kind. And then you see Peter, on the other hand, just afraid of even a slave girl, and shrinking in fear. So my question to us this morning is, who do you identify with? Well, I guess it's whom do you identify with, right? Is it Peter, who shrinks back in fear, is intimidated by people, or Jesus, who can stand before any man and confidently declare the truth, not shying away from anything? See, Peter is a bold man, right? No, throughout the Gospels, we see Peter, he seems to have been this type A personality kind of a guy. The one that steps forward and says stuff and says, you know, I'm going to take charge. He was the natural leader. Yet, despite his personality, he backs off in fear when he's faced with real danger. For me, I definitely identify more with Peter than Jesus. There are those, you know, just that I, those, there are those people who are naturally quite outspoken and confident before people, and they're very cool when they meet someone new, someone that might be imposing or intimidating in some way. Me, my personality lends me to being a bit more nervous and intimidated when I talk to anyone in general, but especially if I view them to be a person of authority. And for some reason, it's worse with Caucasians. That's another issue we can talk about at another time. But you know what I mean? I get sweaty palms. I get a bit shifty. My eyes get a little shifty. I feel like I'm rocking back and forth, and I get this like nervous sweat thing going on, and I want to say the right thing. I want to say something that is impressive. I don't know what it is. I panic. You know, I just, especially meeting, you know, we get some great Christian leaders coming to our church to speak, right? We have Pastor Che An, Lauren Cunningham, other figures that are quite, you know, not that they are mean, but they're just very authoritative. And I get nervous. I'm like, oh, here, talk to P. Sam. You know, I'll take you to P. Sam's office. Don't ask me questions. Don't make me nervous. That's just my personality. I don't know if you guys can identify or if you guys get that way. I have a youth pastor long time ago when I was a high school student. I had my youth pastor speak, and he shared a story of how one day he got to meet Denzel Washington. I forget the context of the story, but he got to meet Denzel Washington, and he, you know, obviously cool celebrity, and apparently he was a Christian or something. So he was really impressed by him. So he wanted to meet him and shake his hand and, you know, just leave a good first impression. But what he didn't realize is that Denzel is a big man. He was much bigger than what he thought. So he met Denzel Washington, and he was going to like tap him on the shoulder, you know, like a cool, you know, yeah, nice to meet you. But he says he was so big, much bigger than he anticipated. He actually ended up giving him like a back rub. You know, it's like, hey. And he was very embarrassed. And I would be that guy. You know, meeting someone like that, I was just nervous, not knowing what to do. But personality aside, I want to talk about being bold. Right? Because Peter, he was, his personality, he would have been the type A guy. Just bold, say whatever, not worry about people. But when he's faced with this, he cowers in fear. And I think whether you are type A or not, you don't have to be that personality to be bold and to say what you need to say and to speak truth and to not be dictated by fear. You know, I don't have to be cool and impressive to celebrity to be the kind of person that walks in boldness. Right? I could be nervous and meet, you know, like whatever, but I can still speak truth and not be dictated by my fear of man and you know, shrink away from speaking the truth. I have a cousin who is also a pastor here in Hong Kong who is extremely soft-spoken, very gentle, almost kind of annoyingly gentle, you know, like just wants to defer to everyone, very caring. But once he's made up his mind on something, he won't budge. And I see this strength in him. His personality would be totally just meek and just nice and, you know, just submitting to everyone. But when he's made up his mind about something, especially the things of God, he will not budge. And even though everybody around him is saying, no, you can't do that. See, what he did, he started a church of his own. He started his church. He founded a church here in Hong Kong. He planted a church here in Hong Kong. And he has, in his congregation, he has himself, his wife, and his daughter, who is 1 year old. And everybody around him was like, are you sure? Why don't you just move back to Korea, you know, do this thing? But he's like, no, I prayed. I've made up my mind. And he's walking in boldness. Right? And so it's not a personality thing, but how can we walk in boldness like this? So I was meditating, and I think there are probably many answers to how we can walk more in boldness. If we meditate on it longer, I'm sure we'll go deeper and deeper. But I just want to share one thing. We're on a time constraint here. One that stands out to me is intimacy with the Father. Intimacy with the Father. You could turn to verse 4. In verse 4 it says, so Jesus, knowing all the things that were coming upon him, went forth and said to them, boldly, he said, whom do you seek? Right? But it says, knowing all the things that were coming upon him. Jesus knew all that was going to happen, but how did he know? He knew it through the Father, through his spending time with the Father, through his intimacy with the Father. Through Philippians 2 verse 7, we know that Jesus had given up his attributes of being a God, right? Being God. So he didn't know all that was going to happen because he was God, because he laid aside his God-like attributes when he came down to him, when he emptied himself and came to earth. So the only way he would have known what was about to happen is through intimacy with the Father, and the Father revealing to him, this is what I want you to do. This is the cup that you need to drink. Right? Somewhere between John 17 and John 18, there is the Garden of Gethsemane. The Gospel of John doesn't mention it, but we know through the other three Gospels that in between the supper with the disciples and then being arrested, Jesus has that time in the Garden of Gethsemane with the Father saying, God, if it's possible, let me not take this cup. But Lord, not my will, but yours be done. Right? So he understands from his time with the Father that this cup is something that he has to drink and that God is the one leading him here so he can walk in confidence because he knows that this is something that the Father is leading him in. Intimacy with the Father also means that Jesus was perfectly secure. He is not swayed by the opinion of man in any way. In John 2, 23, I want to read you the Message version. During the time he was in Jerusalem, those days of the Passover feast, many people noticed the signs that Jesus was displaying, and seeing that they pointed straight to God, they entrusted their lives to him. But it says of Jesus, it says, but Jesus did not entrust his life to them. He knew them inside and out. He knew how untrustworthy they were. He didn't need any help in seeing right through them. How many times do we entrust our lives to people? And we just want a good reputation. We want them to say good things about me. We are so worried and fearful of what they might say of us. But Jesus here says he did not entrust his life to them. He was not interested in whether or not they were going to make him king or they were going to crucify him. He was secure in what the Father was saying. John 13, 3 to 4. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come forth from God and was going back to God, he got up from supper and he washed the disciples' feet. Because he knew that he had come from God and he knew that he was going back to God. How many of us know our identity? You know, where we come from and where we're going. That we come from the Father and that we're going back to the Father, just like Jesus. Maybe if Peter had been with God, if Peter had spent time with the Father, maybe he would have been ready for this trial. Maybe God would have dropped something in his heart that he would have been aware, like, okay, something's going to happen, it's going to be difficult. And he would have readied himself for this trial of faith. Perhaps he would have been much more sure of himself, knowing and trusting that God is in control. And in the same way, if I am intimate with the Heavenly Father and I spend time with Him and I'm attentive to His voice, I would be more certain in discerning the events of my life. Right? I would know what God is up to in this time and I would be ready to face situations that require boldness. Also, I would be much more grounded in my identity, secure in Him, not worrying about the opinion of man. So I want to ask Pastor Andrew to come and lead us in a song, and let's just ask the Holy Spirit to help us be more bold, right? To help us be more like Jesus and not like Peter. In your workplace, whether it's, you know, proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ in your workplace, or just being a real person, being honest and real, and even admitting your mistakes, admitting that sometimes you don't know, sometimes you don't have all the answers, and not so worried about losing your reputation, but trusting the Father and walking in boldness and in truth and in honesty. Proverbs 28 verse 1 says, "The wicked flee when no one is pursuing, but the righteous are bold as a lion." Don't you want that verse to be yours? Don't you want to be bold as a lion? This is one of my regular prayers, that I would be bold as a lion. So let's just go before the Holy Spirit. Ask Him to speak to us in this morning. Thank you. Thank you, God. I pray for myself and the congregation here that we would be able to walk in boldness. We know through later stories that Peter was changed, transformed, and he was one of the most bold and courageous preachers that we see in the book of Acts. And I pray that our hearts would be transformed as well. If we are so afraid of the opinion of man and so afraid of, I don't know, maybe death or failure or a difficult life or whatever, help us to trust that you are our faithful Father. Help us to be intimate with you so that we're not just living life guessing, you know, so unsure of the future, so unsure of where our strength and our hope comes from, but that we would have a certain confidence and peace and rest in you. So Father, help us just to get into your presence this morning, God. Thank you, Lord. Let's pray together. Let's pray for our friends going through cancer or radiation chemotherapy. Let's pray for them. Let's pray for strength for them. And let's pray in faith for them. When they are weak, they don't have faith, let's stand in the gap and pray with them and for them in their behalf. Let's pray. Let's go to the second slide. Pray for those that are in need of physical healing as well as spiritual salvation. So let's pray for God to come in His mercy and reveal Himself to the people on this list. Third slide, let's pray for various infirmities that our church members are going through. Let's go to the fourth slide. Pray for those of us that are looking for employment. Pray for God's direction and clarity and God's favor over our friends. Let's pray. Let's go to the Tuesday prayer focus. Let's pray for Hong Kong. Let's just pray for this city. Pray for God's blessing, God's favor. Pray for all the ministries here. Pray for the anointing of God upon each of these ministries. Pray for the churches to be anointed, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Let's pray for the government. Pray for the young people here that they will have hope despite... maybe they feel oppressed or they just feel a lack of hope when they look to the future of Hong Kong. Let's just pray that they would have a... that God will minister to the young people here. And yeah, let's pray for Hong Kong. Let's pray for the staff. Please pray for those that are traveling. Pastor Sam, Pastor Kenny, Pastor Mary. Ashley's coming back on Wednesday. Please pray for Pastor Sam, especially, that he would just be well rested. He would really be rejuvenated through this time in the States, and he will come back refreshed and renewed. Please pray for Pastor Ricky. He has, ever since a few weeks ago, he's been having a vertigo. Like, he's feeling dizzy and, I don't know, maybe headache. And so something's up. So please pray for him. Pray for healing for him. Pray for the staff to be united in heart, in spirit, and also to work hard and to really be anointed to hear from the Lord. So let's pray for the staff together. Let's pray for the worship, the sound, and AV team. Pray for a real heart of worship, heart of excellence, heart of service to the church. Let's pray together. Let's pray for our hospitality ministry, welcoming team, and barista team. Pray for the leaders, pray for more volunteers, and pray for God's anointing upon them. Father, thank you for this day. We just give this day to you. I'll thank you that we can start this day off with prayer and with intimacy with you, and help us to hear from you today. I bless everyone here. I bless their spirit to connect to Holy Spirit and to lead their body and soul. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Have a great day today. And we'll see some of you tomorrow.